talk about a mess. Just before last year's sequestration, Immigration and Customs Enforcement let go hundreds of detainees. Officials believe they didn't have the money to house them, and they neglected to tell the Homeland Security Secretary or the President. The detainee release got out in the press. That led to a political fiasco. Did anything go right? Well, it took the Homeland Security Inspector General to sort out this one. For the final story, we turn to the IG, John Roth. John, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
All right, so your report talks about what happened just before sequestration, and it seems to center on lack of management knowledge about the budget and the number of detainees. What were your chief findings?
Well, there was a lack of communication between the field and the ICE's chief financial officer, also a lack of communication between ICE and OMB, and, of course, as you mentioned, a lack of communication between ICE and main DHS.
It almost sounds like what's been going on a little bit recently, that Washington is a step behind what's going on down at the border.
Well, we've actually done some work down at the border, and we've found that given the challenges that they face down there, the Border Patrol is doing actually a fairly good job in trying to manage the crisis.
All right, so getting back to this last year's crisis, if you will, during sequestration, it looks like they got caught up down there in a statutory limit of the number of detainees that could be held. Tell us about how that works.
Sure.
In other words, could they stuff more in if they had to, or do they have to let people go to reach that exact number?
Sure. It's actually a statutory floor, not a statutory limit. So Congress and the President, when they enacted the budget, mandated that ICE detain 34,000 aliens on an average daily bed space. And the difficulty is during fiscal 13, the number of apprehensions had increased significantly. The number of detainees or aliens who were required to be detained under the statute rose quite a bit. There was a lack of understanding or lack of clarity as to what the budget would allow for. The funding that ICE had for this was fairly unstable because only a portion of that 34,000 beds actually came from appropriated funding. The rest had to come from user fees and the like. So it was a sort of a confluence of a lot of different factors that caused a crisis in February of 2013.
So from a purely bed standpoint, regardless of the budget, they had a need to fit more than 34,000 people in because of the number of apprehensions that were rising so fast?
Over the course of time, that's correct. So, of course, the more beds that you have, the more money it costs. And when they got to February of 2013, they realized that they were facing a significant budget shortfall.
And so this idea of user fees, I'm not sure I understand that. In other words, the people come in, are they paying their own way in some cases, or where does this come from?
No, it would be user fees that were derived from other ICE operations. For example, if an individual is applying for citizenship, there would be a fee for that, and so that money is used for other operations. So what we found was for the 34,000 beds that were required, only about 31,000 had appropriated money, and then the shortfall, about 3,000 beds, ICE had to find other funding streams for that. And the difficulty with that is, like any kind of a funding stream like that, it's not predictable. And unfortunately for the operations, there wasn't enough money in those other funding streams to cover the shortfall.
And so then sequestration came into the picture, and how did that affect things?
Sequestration itself didn't really affect things. Certainly the continuing resolution made the budget environment very, very challenging. And again, had there been better communication between ICE management, executive management, and both the department and OMB, I think this could have been avoided. But ICE went ahead once they saw the budget shortfall and directed their field offices to start releasing aliens.
Okay, and so so the CFO felt, this is a headquarters person, your report says the chief financial officer decided to cover what he thought was a shortfall because by what you call a sharp and immediate reduction in detention bed space. So that was their response. Did, in fact, they have the money and didn't know about it, or was he listening to what the field was saying?
She, actually, but in any event, They did not have the money, and they were accurate in the fact that they had a budget shortfall. The remedy, of course, was to try to go to OMB to ask for more money. They did that, but while they were waiting for an answer from OMB, they decided to engage in the releases.
And they just went ahead and did this without really the knowledge of the of Janet. At that time, the secretary was Janet Napolitano.
Correct.
And so what was the ramification of headquarters not knowing? Or was this something that could be routinely done that they had done before, but it wasn't in the context of a growing, I guess, perception that there's a border crisis?
No, this is typically not done. And basically what happened is ICE headquarters sort of put out quotas to each of the field offices for the enforcement and removal operations folks and gave them a specific target that they had to hit. So the case officers then had to go through their population and figure out what were the most appropriate candidates for release.
I mean, just reading between the lines, it sounds like in terms of release of prisoners to meet a budget, they really took the MEDAX approach.
Well, yes. I mean, I think the folks in the field did the best they could given the constraints, but the decision was made very quickly, and functionally they were ordered to engage in these releases over the weekend. So we saw situations where people, case officers, would have to be called back over the weekend to engage in an analysis of who would be the best people for release and then go from there. So it was really thrown together in a fairly haphazard way.
And so did that get them under the 34,000 statutory floor in releasing those?
Correct.
So they overcompensated, in effect, just to make sure?
Well, again, it was part of it was about the statutory floor, but also part of it was about the money. And they simply thought they did not have sufficient funds to keep the population where it was. In fact, they had already been under that 34,000 floor at the time that they started these releases.
We're speaking with Homeland Security Inspector General John Roth. And so what are you recommending here? I mean, what can tighten this whole thing up?
Well, we recommend four things, two of which involve getting a better funding stream, one that is more predictable and more reliable. The other recommendations we have are aimed at improving communication between the field operations level and the chief financial officer's level, to ensure that everyone understands sort of what the budget situation is, what the average daily population is, and manage the population in accordance with the budget.
And with respect to that better communication, do they have the systems and processes in place to know their exact numbers, location by location, to be able to hand that up to Washington and back and forth?
Yes, they have a fairly sophisticated way of understanding exactly what their detention population is at any time. The failure of communication here was the lack of an understanding by the field that, in fact, that they were burning through money too quickly.
And the better funding stream or the more reliable funding stream, that's really a message that would seem to be more to Congress than to something the agency can control.
Well, we obviously don't make recommendations to Congress, but we do make recommendations to ICE, and we advise them to try to work with their committees to get a better way of funding this.
I mean, is there some way that's legal and according to good apportionment and so forth that could enable them to have kind of a cushion, because nobody anticipated a year earlier than this incident that the number of apprehensions would rise so fast?
Right, and this is a continuing challenge that, as we see today with the entire unaccompanied children issue, it is inherently unpredictable, and we recommend to try to work with a budget system that will account for that.
And
but
with
it's difficult.
And with respect to the release that did take place, your report says that wasn't handled all that well. Did they, in fact, release people that should not have been released? I mean, did they release killers or murderers or rapists or MS-13 members?
Well, they released over 600 individuals who had criminal records of various types. Now, they sort of categorized those into three different kinds of levels involving aggravated felons and others that have criminal records but don't rise to that level. And what we found is after the releases and then once this became public and there was some congressional attention, they went back and reapprehended some of the most dangerous folks.
It's almost like misspent money, the spend and chase, as opposed to preventing it in the first place.
Well, you have to spend money to release them, and then you have to spend money to get them back. So, yes, it wasn't a good situation.
And how much discretion do the local officials have in general for who they release?
Well, there are four broad categories of mandatory detention, which, of course, they're obligated to follow. But then assessments of dangerousness, of course, are done at the local level.
And the release, could that also have been sending them back home instead of releasing them into the United States?
Well, no, because most of those detainees were pending some sort of judicial action, either an administrative deportation action or some other kind of action. So we could not have simply sent them back.
In other words, it's not within the discretion of ICE to be able to deport people. They can only detain them or release them until their administrative hearings decide what happens to them?
Correct.
All right, so any evidence that since in the year that this is, I mean, your report just came out, this happened all a year and a half ago, any evidence that they're getting their handle on this in the meantime?
Well, the ICE has concurred with all of our recommendations, which we find encouraging, but the current system is still the same system that was in place before.
Well, they, of course, the funding is the same, but they could fix the communications in the meantime.
Hopefully there's been some lessons learned as a result of this.
And so will you follow up again to see what happens, say, in the current detention climate that we have going on now?
Absolutely. One of the things that we do with all of our reports and all of our recommendations is do a follow-up and ensure that, in fact, something is being done in reaction to our report. And as we see these issues, we'll continue to do audits and write reports.
John Roth is Inspector General for the Homeland Security Department. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.